First, just want to say thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you, especially Dr. Haber and Mrs. Haber, for praying for me, being my best friend, and counseling me through all this time, till the time that I went home to bury my brother. Really do appreciate that, sir. Thank you for your leadership. And thank you for the leaders and everyone else here that contributed to my going home, whether prayers financially and otherwise. God bless you all. Thank you. We're going to be talking about strengthening the church. But before we do that, let's do a little recap of what we've been teaching in the book of Acts. I believe last week, the last time Dr. Haber spoke about Acts, he was talking about Paul, Barnabas, being called to Jerusalem for a council. And what the council was about was to sort out the differences in theology. That is, whether we are being saved by grace or by works through circumcision. And I believe Dr. Haber said that Paul, before he left, there was an understanding through the leadership of James that indeed, and by the way, through the almost leadership of the Holy Spirit, that we are not saved by our works. We are not saved by circumcision, but we are saved by what? Grace. Nothing else that you and I could do or did. And that was an awesome, awesome clarification of the gospel. You see, the people in Jerusalem for all this time were going only by the Mosaic law that says that, you know, you can only worship God, especially if you're a Jew, you have to be circumcised. And like they still continue to do today, you have to work to earn your salvation. And through the Jerusalem Council, there was a stop to that. So Paul was commissioned to go out to Antioch. And something happened. Paul decided that he wasn't going to go with his friend Barnabas, that he travels with any longer, but he's going to go with Silas. And Dr. Haber let us know that Paul couldn't have known or done that by himself, but the Holy Spirit prompted him to do that. Why would the Holy Spirit do that? We're going to continue today from the beginning of chapter 16. So if you will open your Bibles, the book of Acts, chapter 16, and it's going to be verses 1 to 5. But before we read the scripture, I just want to tell you a little story that I found out during my research. There was an English man visiting Sweden, and noticing that there was no homeless people around the streets of Sweden, especially children, there were no homeless children. Any one of you who have visited Brazil and other third world countries, you find out there are children homeless everywhere. India, they come and beg you when you stop your car. He found out that there was none in Sweden. So he asked the gentleman that came to pick him up from the airport and said, "Hey, we are driving through the highway to the city, but I don't see any children that are homeless in this place." Then he received a very suggestive answer. His wife said, "Yes, we the Swedes are not rich enough to not to take care of our children. To not to take care of our children." Then he went on to say that It is very costly. If you don't take care of your child, because they will grow up in ignorance, misery, crime, and sometimes they become what? A burden to society and a disgrace to themselves. Another story, someone asked a man of wisdom, when should an education of a child begin? The answer, 20 years before his or her birth, by educating his or her mother. Do you get that? Way before that child is born, by what? Educating the mother of that child that is yet to be born. Why do I tell you these two stories? After all, we are talking today about the strengthening of the church. What has that got to do with children? Well, you had a little bit of it during the kids' say. The pastor talked to them about how many of them, asked them how many of them that are being read to and being brought up in the image of Christ. Today's message is based on Paul taking along Timothy on his journey. This is the second journey of Paul. Timothy became very, very important in this trip. Matter of fact, most theologians think that out of the three epistles that Paul wrote, Timothy is so important that he occupies two out of the three. It tells you the importance of Timothy in Paul's writings and trips. So the question today is, what about you? You, the mature Christian, does it bother you that our children are slowly drifting away from the church? Look around you this morning. How many of Timothy's do we have or see around us? How many young people have you personally mentored to and encouraged? Why? The answer is to strengthen the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Or the other option is that we can become like the church in Lystra or Eunice, the mother of Timothy, who even though as a Jewish mother, which we'll read from the scripture, by the way, married to a Greek husband, did not have the power to do the external act of grace, which is why circumcision. Why? Because she was what? She was Jewish, but the husband is Greek. And she doesn't have the power to circumcise the child, even though Timothy is in the ministry. He's brought up in the church. But because those cultures, the man is the man of the house, wouldn't allow Eunice and Timothy's grandmother to circumcise the child. And we'll see during the story that Paul, before he takes him along, will in fact do that for the sake of the people of the town. So, I just want to give you that little perspective to think about it as we go into the scripture and read. But this is a true example what the church in Lystra and Eunice and the grandmother did that is worthy for you and I to take it as an example, to act towards that, to pray for the young people that are sitting around us, to look for those that are no longer with us, that we see them in the malls. Talking about that, matter of fact, was it 3 days ago, I was in the mall and I met one of the young people in this church that used to come to my youth class. And I was convicted for not following up after not seeing him for a while. See, this is what the church in Leicester didn't do. They looked after Timothy. They cared for Timothy. The Bible says that they rallied around him and he was brought what? In the fear of God. So, going back to the story before we read, was it coincidence, was it by chance that Paul decided not to take Barnabas, but instead took Silas and came back to Lystra? Which, by the way, we find out later on, that was the same town that decided to stone Paul on his early journey. This time around, the Holy Spirit sent him back for Timothy, who became very strong, paramount in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
According to all indications, Paul had a failing eyes, and Timothy is credited with most of Paul's writing. You see what the Holy Spirit does? Without the people in Lystra preparing Timothy for the ministry, most of the letters and most of the other things that we read about Paul would not have happened. It did happen because Eunice and the church, even though his father was Greek, even though he wasn't allowed technically, but they didn't allow that to discourage them. I love the King James, so I'm going to be reading from King James, and you can look through other versions as you choose to. Chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he, who are we talking about? Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And I have indicated before that this is Paul's second missionary journey. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jew, and believed, but his father was Greek. Let's stop there for a minute. And believed. So Paul didn't come to Lystra to find Timothy as an unbeliever or as an ignorant young person, but find a young man that was already strong in the Lord because he'd been mentored to, he'd been brought up in the image and in the fear of the Lord, and believe in what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But his father was Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren who were Lystran and Iconium. Him will Paul have to go forth with him. In other words, Paul took him along and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. So what did Paul do? Paul listened to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, okay, you're going to do me a favor. For the sake of the people around here, for the sake of those unbelievers, for the sake of those Jews who do not want to accept the fact that salvation does not come through circumcision, but it's what? Grace of God, which you can't pay for it or you can't act in any other way to get it, for the sake of them. Do me a favor, take Timothy and circumcise. So the question is, why would Paul do that? Because after all, by him doing that, he is what? Contradicting his own words that he has spoken earlier. And then I was reminded that there is somewhere in the scripture that says that Paul says he was what? All things to what? All people. For what? The sake of what? The gospel. So I wasn't surprised that Paul listened to the Holy Spirit and went ahead and did that for the sake of those people in the quarters, King James says, in other words, in the town. And most of these people were looking to see what Paul would do. and then they can begin to accuse him. The lesson that I learned from this part of the scripture is this: for God, nothing is okay. It got to be that, and there's no going to be any change to that. God made provisions for us in every step of the way that we go, that are what consistent in his holy scriptures. Amen. Amen? Why? Because to God, that wasn't a big deal. Circumcised or uncircumcised. They had just come from the Jerusalem Council. They have just decided that what the Holy Spirit told them to tell the church and the world, that it's only through Jesus and Jesus alone that one can be saved. So they know that already. They know that already. Paul is beginning the journey to tell the rest of the world about that decision that was made in Jerusalem. So by taking Timothy to circumcise him, wasn't a big deal at all. It wasn't a contradictory. It was to fulfill the obligation that the Holy Spirit placed on Paul's heart, so that the people in town would not have anything to gossip about. Amen. Amen. Verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them in the decrees for to keep, and that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. I'm reading from the King James, so bear with me. But basically what they are saying is that as Paul and Timothy and Silas began their journey in Antioch and going through all these places, they began to tell them the good news. What is the good news? The good news that we do not want to work for our salvation. See, that may not be a big deal to you, but it is a big deal. It is a real big deal. If we were to work for our salvation, none of us could earn it. Because there is nothing that is to the equal of the blood of Jesus. Amen? You could not pay for that blood, no matter what you do. So Paul and Silas went on telling people the good news, which is salvation is only through the grace of God, not through our works. 5. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in numbers daily. And we're going to stop on the faith. As they tell them the salvation is free by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the church increased in numbers and they were blessed. And the church was strengthened. Amen? Amen. One of the things that I wanted to talk about today, the scripture says that Eunice, the mother of Timothy, did not allow those external circumstances around her to dictate to her in bringing what up Timothy in the fear of God. The question that I have for all of us, are we allowing our external circumstances to prevent us from engaging in our children's life and to bringing them into the fear and grace of the Holy God? Somebody said to me, this is a very vague question. Well, let me break it down. How many of us sacrifice our morning sleeping hours 5 in the morning to wake up and pray for our children? Well, Pastor, I don't have a child. Well, this is a family here, right? We have children among us here. How many of us get up in the morning to pray for our church and our church families? Chew on that for a minute. We come here every Friday to pray. Usually we can count the number of people that are there. I think the highest usually is about 12, 11, 10. Our aim is to obey the Holy Spirit, obey God, and do what God wants us to do, and resolve, strengthen His church, right? Building the church for Jesus Christ. When I use the word church, I don't mean just what we are sitting in here as a church. Truly community, spreading the word, evangelism, and doing all that, that encompasses a church. The point I'm making is this. You can't do that without preparation. You can't just come to service on Sundays and expect the Church of Jesus Christ to be strengthened. You need to do your part. You need to get up in the morning and read the scripture, prepare yourself for the day. Why? Because your testimony for that day contributes and helps strengthening the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? How does it happen, preacher? Well, the way you speak to people in your office, in your job, the people that you encounter in traffic, your behavior, the characteristics of the day that you show, all help people asking you something different about you. Tell me more about you. And the opportunity opens up. Yesterday, I went to get a haircut. I was sitting by the chair of the barber, and he asked me, well, I haven't seen you for a while. I said, well, I went to Africa to a funeral of my brother. And he says, oh, you must be tired. I said, yeah. He says, well, are you preaching tomorrow? I said, oh, by the way, yes, I am. He says, well, I'm from Vietnam, but I am a Catholic. And I just came from Vietnam also, and the whole church in Vietnam is taken over by the young people. By the youth. I'm laughing because my wife and I had just had this conversation in the house in the morning before I left to get my hair cut. I was telling her and Pastor Heber how the youth in Africa have taken the church over. It's no longer the older ones like us. You go to church and you have 2,005 young people worshiping and praising God. And I was saying that to my wife, that when we said the offertory, they dance around the room with their envelopes in their hand to come and worship God through giving. Amen? I am not saying this to impose on anybody. I'm just telling you what I witnessed. I'm telling you the things that God is doing in other parts of the world. What are we doing in North America? Why are we not having our youth, our children being brought up? And the guy, the barber, ended up saying that, you know why? Because here, our children have everything they need. Our children have everything they need. And it reminded me that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what? True, the root of what? Suffering. We have it so easy with our children that when we wake them up to come in the morning, oh, I don't feel like, okay, I'll see you later. I'm sure Eunice, like the pastor said this morning, didn't give Timothy that many chances. And by that, God brought Paul to come for that young man, Timothy, who became an instrument of God for most of Paul's journey. Amen?
Amen.
We are told that the wise and early training of Timothy gave him some advantages over his peers. And I'm going to mention a couple of those. You know, when you bring young people in the fear and admonition of God, they have what? An early awakening of their intelligence. When a child is brought in the house of the Lord, they know the difference between right and wrong. They are prevented from today's follies and temptations. Not that the temptations do not come, they do come. But the Holy Spirit helps them to know the difference, to know the steps that they need to take to get away from those temptations. Why? Because the Holy Spirit rules their lives. Amen? How many of you believe that young people also have the Spirit of God on them? See, it's not only us, the grown-ups. Each and every one of them that has made a profession of faith to Jesus Christ also do have the Spirit of the Lord in their lives. I was watching Jimmy Swagger the other day, and a young person broke out in tongues. And somebody said, "Oh, that is strange." And I said, "No, that is not strange at all. We in North America, we the ABCs, have decided that there is no such a thing as tongues any longer." But it's very biblical. When it's exercised in the right way, and the Spirit of the Lord is indeed speaking to you, and it can be translated of what God is telling you. Are we in place? Have we prepared ourselves for the Holy Ghost to be on our children? The third one is, Timothy was fit for Christian ministry, which he subsequently became devoted. In other words, when Paul came, Paul didn't have to train Timothy. Yes, there are certain things that Paul impacted on him, but he was already prepared by the Spirit of the Lord for what he was to do for God. Why? Because his mother, grandmother, and the church in Lystra prepared him for that journey. That eventually did not only strengthen their church in Lystra, but the rest of the church all the way through Antioch and later on Asia Minor as Paul journeyed around. What has all these instructions about children in the fear and knowledge of the Holy Spirit has to do with strengthening of the church? I want us to consider 3 points. The development and paving way for the youth. The church of Christ seldom does better than when it nourishes youthful characters in our children and paves the way for exercise and development of growing talent. What do I mean? I just spoke about it. When we nurture and nourish the talents of these young people. I remember I used to belong to an African-American church, and Pastor Eba and I talk about it all the time, and you see these young people that were being brought up. They come in here once in a while, they will come and preach, they will come and pray. They come. We want to do that, and that is where we are heading now. We want to give them the opportunity to what? Be trained. Because most of us are not going to be here the next 10, 20 years. But God's work has to go on. And if those young people among us are not trained and brought up, guess the church will be in a bad shape. I can say this with authority because being the moderator for Oak Colony Baptist Association for 51 churches, as I visited those churches, I see what is happening. Once we brought a gentleman here to talk to us about the under 60 and over 60, and you see the difference that we no longer have those young people and we have all the older. Not that the older people are not needed. We love you. You brought the church into this where we are. But we need to impact that wisdom that the Holy Spirit has granted you gracefully onto our young people in order for the church to be strengthened. Amen.
Amen.
Two, securing the ground as we attempt to grow the ministry. We are told that in Asia Minor, Paul and Silas had to secure the ground as they evangelized the population with local training of the people, especially the youth. What do I mean by that? See, when Paul and Silas went on their journey, they just don't go and stand in the public place and speak the words and tomorrow move on to Avon and then to Brampton and then to New Bedford. No. They make sure that the ground is prepared. How does the ground get prepared? One of my favorite remembrances about Billy Graham was when I was a kid in Africa. Billy Graham Evangelistic Association came to have a crusade. Probably I was about 10 or 11. But I do remember that the church that we were in, they were mobilizing people. So Billy Graham, before, during, and after of the crusade, it's all about the local people. They bring very few people from the U.S. Why do they do that? They prepare the ground so that when they leave, there is no one vacuum. Are we preparing the ground? The scripture tells us that yes, Paul and Silas, they prepare the ground. Everywhere they go, every synagogue they go, they come outside and speak to the Gentiles also. Because they know that it's not only the Jews that live in town. There are Gentiles also. They need to hear the word of God. And sometimes Paul will leave one of his brethren behind and says, hey, see to that the church is growing before you come along. Preparing the ground. Our job today is to prepare the ground through our youth, through our young people, through those who are willing to hold the fort. Are we doing that? We need to be very conscious about strengthening the church of Christ. See, the church can only be strengthened through you and I, right? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can empower and will empower us if we are willing. Great men and women of God are not because they have what, talents or wisdom, but because of what? Their availability for God to use. I'm sure Dr. Heber is a very wise man. I'm sure he's a very talented man. And I know it personally because under his leadership, I have grown a lot. But I'm 100% sure the reason why God is using him tremendously, not only here, but other ministries that he does contributing to the church of Jesus Christ, is because of what? His availability. There hasn't been one time that I've been with him in the office or we are driving to a place or in a conference that somebody has called in about something about church and said, I'll call you back. Usually, he will take the time and talk to the person on the phone. And if he requires more time, then he says, okay, let me take your number and we can discuss this further. God cares about availability, not about our so-called intelligence and wisdom. Because he gives us that freely as a gift if we avail ourselves to him. And if we want the church to grow, if we want to strengthen his church, then we will avail ourselves to him. It doesn't have to be your child. It doesn't have to be your brother. It doesn't have to be your sister. Because guess what? We are all family of Christ. Pray for her. Pray for him. You see something going on with another family member, you don't even need to go and ask, what can I do? Get on your knees for that person. Get on your knees. I was at the airport in London and I had a text message from Tess says, I'm praying for you. Connecting the flight. And she says, I'm praying for you. Why do I say that? I admire that so much because I knew that people care, right? We need to care for one another. We need to love one another. The Word of God says that if we do, then God will use us tremendously. And He will build His church. And He will add to the numbers. Now, let me talk a little bit before I conclude. What is in for the church? The reward of the church. Indeed, it is the result of a Christian church labor which is most appreciated. What do I mean by that? Our labor. I remember last year when we went to Mansfield. Were you there? Some members of us, Becky and others, were there under the Old Colony Hospice. We went to paint a church and, you know, did the sanctuary. And we do that, the Old Colony, we do that once a year for a member church. And I remember how people were very happy just there helping to paint a church that was almost 90% older people with an average age of about 89, 90. The whole time that we were there, we talked to the pastor and they had like about two young people who were under the age of 18. So they couldn't do anything in the church. So we decided to go and help and did their stairs and rebuild some few things that we could. The labor should give us joy. In this case, the labor of helping one another, the labor of telling the story of Jesus to others. And then the recovery of the lost one, of course. When we give the good news to people, we are telling them that, hey, it's not all lost. There is hope for you. And the last one is what? The consecration of the promised one. In this case, it was for what? Timothy. Timothy was consecrated because his hometown, his mother, his grandmother made sure that he was brought up in the fear of God. So the Holy Spirit prepared him and sent Paul to go on with him. In conclusion, so you see, there are so many ways that we can do to strengthen the church. And today I wanted to take it from the point of view of building up our youth. Not only as parents, but as a church, as a whole, to help our members, one another, to really come to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. When you are saved, that is when the works begin. In other words, you don't work to be saved. It's when you are saved that you go on to do the good work for Christ. Amen? Amen. I remember this morning I was watching Dr. Jeremiah, and he said that there will be different type of crowns, and he mentioned five different type of crowns that you and I are going to be receiving as we go before the presence of the Lord. And I don't want to go into that, but the bottom line is this. We are not saved just to put our hands on the behind or sit on our hands for doing nothing and tell people that we are saved. God don't give us for us to keep. Amen? Amen. We have a leadership here, and I'm not bragging about him, But we have a leadership here that does what God wants this church to emulate. He gives financially. He supports this ministry. He brags about this ministry. Matter of fact, sometimes I get a little shy when I'm with him, but the way he brags about this ministry. We ought to follow his example, even as he follows Christ. Amen?
Amen.
In conclusion, how do we find out that progress is being made? Or the numbers are being increasing? Or knowing that the cause of Jesus Christ is advancing? We can know that if each and every one of us does what we are supposed to do. Don't go seeking for it. Don't come and stand in the church and count. Oh, when I came in here, it was only 6 people. Now we have 16 people. But whatever that you do, whatever that you can contribute to the strengthening of the church, do it. For you see, God sees everything. Matter of fact, the scripture says that he blesses, he prefers those who do not broadcast about their good things that they do. For God, who sees through our heart and our secret, knows what you're doing. So keep up the good job, the good work that you're doing. Whether it's praying for our young people or talking to them, please keep it up. And if you're not doing, pick it up. It's not too late. So that by next year, by now, this place will be filled with young people who are filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what joy, what intense, pure satisfaction. Indeed, this is the gladness that abides, which purifies, enables the heart of us who are seeking to do His will. That is my prayer. That is my prayer. We cannot strengthen the Church of Jesus Christ with our own strength. It's impossible. But if we are led by the Spirit, He will show us things and He will open ways for us, avenues. And I pray that one of these days, my two boys will say, "Dad, wait for us. We want to go to church with you." You know, they used to do that, you know. They used to do that. In the morning, I didn't have to ask them. They used to do that. And I'm sure, Peter, you'll be glad to. And met most of us. So the question remains, why? But we know the enemy is wicked, right? He uses the worries of the day to occupy us. By the way, those worries are temporary. Those worries are behind. Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God. And it's what? Righteousness. And if we do that, all the other things will be added unto it. God be with you. And help you, even as you seek, to know what He has for you. Shall we pray?